explains the yoga system. Text number 30. Na tatasya bhavet klesho. Vandaschanya prasangita.
Vandaschanya prasangita.
Yoshit sanghat hitar pumso.
Yoshit sanghat hitar pumso.
Tatat sanghi sanghita.
Tatat sanghi sanghita.
Natatasya bhavetresho.
Natatasya bhavetresho.
Vandaschanya prasangita.
Vandaschanya prasangita.
Yoshit sanghadita pumso.
Yoshit sanghadita pumso.
Tatat sanghi sanghita.
Tatat sanghi sanghita.
Natatasya bhavetresho.
Natatasya bhavetresho.
Vandaschanya prasangita.
Vandaschanya prasangita.
Yoshit sanghadita pumso.
Yoshit sanghadita.
Tatat sanghi sanghita.
Tatat sanghi sanghita.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Tata.
Tata.
Like that.
Like that.
Asha.
Asha.
Of him.
Of him.
Bhavet.
Bhavet.
Could be.
Could be.
Kleshaha.
Kleshaha.
Suffering.
Suffering.
Bandaha.
Bandaha.
Bondage.
Bondage.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Anya prasangataha,
anya prasangataha,
from any other attachment.
Yoshit,
of women. Sangat,
sangat,
from attachment.
Vita,
just as.
Kumsaha,
of a man. Vita,
similarly.
Tat, to women.
Sanghi,
of those attached. Sanghataha,
from the
association. Translation. Of all kinds of suffering and bondage arising from various attachments, none is greater than the suffering and bondage arising from attachment to women and intimate contact with those attached to women. Report. One should make a great endeavour to give up intimate contact with women and those fond of women. A learned gentleman would automatically be on guard if placed in intimate contact with lusty women. In the company of lusty men, however, the same man may engage in all kinds of social dealings and thus be contaminated by their polluted mentality. Association with lusty men is often more dangerous than association with women and should be avoided by all means. There are innumerable verses in the Bhagavatam describing the intoxication of material lust. Suffice it to say that a lusty man becomes exactly like a dancing dog and by the influence of Cupid loses all gravity, intelligence and direction in life. The Lord warns here that one who surrenders to the illusory form of a woman suffers unbearably in this life and the next. Na tatasya bhavet klesho vandaschanya prasangitaha yoshit sanghadita pumso tatat sanghi sanghitaha. Of all kinds of suffering and bondage arising from various attachments, none is greater than the suffering and bondage arising from attachment to women and intimate contact with those attached to women. So, I shall put this. Where does this verse fit into our Krishna consciousness philosophy? We can discuss that. And also, specifically in relationship with this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. So, as we can understand, the Srimad Bhagavatam and this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called the Uddhava Gita, is further or expanded instructions by Krishna to Uddhava as to what he gave to Arjuna, Krishna gave the essence of all these instructions to Arjuna, and then here, in speaking with Uddhava, he is giving further clarification and further understanding of those same instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. So this Uddhava Gita is like a supplement for the advanced student on the Bhagavad Gita. So now, Krishna's first instructions in the Bhagavad Gita is based upon the interest of the soul. So Krishna very quickly begins to instruct Arjuna as to his ultimate welfare, and those instructions are based upon what is the interest of the spirit soul. And the entire Bhagavad Gita follows that same principle. Krishna is teaching that happiness, success, perfection all lies in searching for and perfecting the interest of the spirit soul, not of the body. So therefore, gradually as the Bhagavad Gita unfolds, Krishna reveals that the interest of the soul, because the soul is eternal, the interest of the soul is actually to return, to leave the temporary material world, which cannot fulfill the interest of the eternal spirit soul, and to return to the eternal spiritual world, which is Satchitananda, and there in the association of the Supreme Lord and all his associates, the interest of the soul is fully met. Alright? So this is the whole summary of Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, and therefore from the very beginning, what is the interest of the soul? Krishna gives his final instruction, what is the ultimate interest of the soul, and he says, Sarvadhamam Panikyagya, you surrender to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the ultimate instruction for the perfection of the interest of the soul. So, in effect, the Bhagavad Gita is an invitation to all spirit souls to return back to the spiritual world. It's an open invitation. Just like Sri Murthy was showing me a very nice invitation that someone had sent us this morning. And so Bhagavad Gita is like that. You open it up. Dear, so-and-so-dasi, Lord Sri Krishna, would like to cordially invite you back to the spiritual world. And you will find within your tickets, please take care of that, and we will see you soon. So that is Krishna's instructions. that is his basically the Bhagavad Gita. Now what is that ticket? That ticket, of course, is the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. That is the only ticket. And we see, therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, text number 8, in chapter 8, he says that Tasmat Saraveshu Kalishu Mam Anushmara Yujyacha Ayarpitam No Budhir Mam Ivaisasi Samsaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting, with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. And that's text 7. In text 8 he says, Abhyasa yoga yuktena chita sananyagamana paramam purusham divyam iti patano chintayam. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So there's the ticket. The ticket. If we take that ticket, then we're guaranteed to arrive in the destination and go back to Godhead. In the next verse, Krishna, assures us that, it is very easy. Don't think that this is very difficult. And he says in text 9, actually text 8, that one that I just read. There's one more verse, there's another verse somewhere. Oh yes, text 14, so it says, Ananya Chaita Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasa Tasyaham Sulabhatata Nitya Yuktasya Yoganaha. So that's text 14. Krishna says, for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. So Sanaprita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So there Krishna is saying that this process of devotional service is very easy, so it is guaranteed that one should not think that somehow or another one will not be able to reach the spiritual planets, Krishna Loka. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is also describing, giving the same instructions that the ultimate sadhana or spiritual practice is to always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's been saying this in the Bhagavad Gita, and that same instruction he has been saying here in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the ultimate process and it is very easy. In text number, in text number 15, he says, Mamo pichapana janma dukulayam sasvatam natmavanti mahatmanaha samsidhim paramam gitaha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. So there Krishna is saying that not only is it easy to get back to the spiritual world if you accept the ticket that he has given, but he's giving his assurance that because that process of devotional service of always fixing the mind on Krishna gives such a perfection that one will never again, return to the material world. Again, on the same point, Krishna is also explaining that in the 9th chapter, now one may still think, even though Krishna has said it's very easy, he guarantees perfection, and one may still be doubtful. So Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejanaha paripasate tesam nityabhyuktanam yogikshema vaham yaham. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So here, Krishna is giving a very, very easy process, just to always fix the mind on Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead while one is engaging in devotional service. And if you think, still, I might have difficulty with that, even though, the mind thinks of something, it's not difficult for the mind to think of something, how much work is that? I'm sitting here, I get my mind to think of Krishna, boom, it's done. Not a lot of work, right? But if we're so, unqualified, we think, that's too much work. That's too difficult for me. Krishna says, still, if you do this, I will be there backing you up, and I will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. So Krishna is saying personally that he will help. So then again, now one may think, well, even then, you know, that may be good for some, but not for others. So Krishna says, no, this is for everyone. So in text 34, Krishna says, text 32, sorry. Don't know what Bhagavad Gita very well. Manghi patta yapasrita yipi shu papayonaya striyova shasta tasudras hepi yanti param gadim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, and sudras can attain the supreme destination. So there Krishna is saying that this invitation back to Godhead, this ticket that he is delivering, it is there for everyone who wants to take it. It is very, very easy. Krishna will give us all assistance to make that successful journey back to the spiritual world. And all we have to do is always think of the Supreme Lord as we carry out our duty. So that is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. And in the final verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you just surrender to this instruction. You know, you give up all other processes and you take this process of fixing your mind on me in devotional service that I have given, take that process and give up all your other processes. So, therefore, the Bhagavad Gita brings us to the point of understanding that we should surrender to the Supreme Lord and always fix our mind on Krishna in devotional service, and by doing that and giving up all other processes, we're guaranteed to very easily return back to the spiritual world with all assistance by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is open to everyone. So that is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam takes off from that point. So what is the next natural question? The next question is, then, how do I understand, you know, this process of surrender? Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world. Everyone, without exception, has been trying for millions and millions of births to forget how to surrender to Krishna. And most of us, especially me, are quite successful in that art of how to forget how to surrender to Krishna. So much so that we might not know anything about it at all. Krishna says surrender. What does that mean? How do we do that? So actually the Srimad Bhagavatam in great detail shows the lives of many great Vaishnavas who to one degree or another have surrendered to Krishna, and that process of surrender is very, very clearly described at great length in Srimad Bhagavatam. All expanding this process which Krishna has ended on in the Bhagavad Gita. Where Bhagavad Gita ends and Srimad Bhagavatam takes off to expand this process of surrender. Saranagati. So, there are... How many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000. Was that? 18,000. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very, very easy, and he instructed the Goswamis of Vrindavan in summarizing the process of Saranagati, or surrender to Krishna, and the six Goswamis therefore taking the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings, they have summarized the process of Saranagati or surrender in their books such as Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. So, and also Sanatana Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami particularly describes that there are six divisions of surrender. So, you know, if we take all the different pastimes mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and, you know, how they are describing different aspects of surrender, if we take all of those different pastimes, we can understand that there are six divisions of which all those pastimes of surrender fit into one of those six divisions. Now, those six divisions are, one, there is Anukulyasya Sankalpa, which is that one should accept everything favourable for pure devotional service. And we see also that in the Nectar of Instruction, in verse number 3, that Rupa Goswami has described that there are six divisions of accepting what is favourable to devotional service. Right. So then, the second division of surrender is Pratikulyasya Vajanam, rejecting everything unfavourable for devotional service. And we see in Nectar Devotion, text number 2, Nectar of Instruction, text number 2, that Rupa Goswami has given six divisions of those things which spoil devotional service, or, you know, the principal things which are unfavourable for devotional service. Everything is very, very clearly mapped out. Then, now, at this point I should mention also that one of the points which Rupa Goswami mentions as being very unfavourable to devotional service is what's that? Accepting bad association. Right? Bad association is very, very dangerous. It spoils devotional service. And it destroys our ability to surrender to Krishna and to make progress. Now, so important that actually in those two verses of Nectar Instruction, he repeats them twice. He repeats that instruction twice. That it is unfavourable to associate with bad association, and it is favourable to reject that bad association. He mentions this twice because it is such an important principle, and the accepting good association is accepted as the positive alternative. So we should reject bad association, and we should take very good association of elevated devotees of the Lord, and therefore, because that principle is so important, that he further expands that instruction in verses 4, 5 and 6 to make sure that we really understand the essence of association of devotees, as you know, because it is such a crucial instruction. This verse here also, I listened to Jagannathan's very nice class yesterday, enjoyed that at home, thank you very much. And he was pointing out that this verse here, of course, is practically the same as the verse in the third canto, chapter 3:31-35. Except for one word. Here, Krishna uses the word klesha in this 11th canto verse, which means suffering, whereas in the third canto he uses the word moha or moha, bewilderment. So one becomes, you know, bound and bewildered by bad association. And here Krishna is also introducing the concept that not only is one bound and bewildered, but one will suffer immensely by that association. Well, so just a little added touch for our understanding. So this verse comes up a few times in Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura's commentaries on those verses of Nectar Instruction. He quotes these verses from Śrīmad Bhāgavatam about bad association. Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, in discussing with Sanātana Goswami what are the principles of devotional service, he brings up these verses about bad association. They're crucial verses, essential verses. We also see them mentioned in the Sri Gaura Kantahara, you know, as essential verses as to what is considered bad association. And the conversations between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, and here this conversation in the 11th canto and the conversation in the 3rd canto with Lord Kapila and Devahuti are based upon this principle as essential information on the process of devotional service. Is to, if you take up good association with devotees, you're guaranteed success in the process of learning and remembering how to surrender to Krishna. And if you take up bad association, you're guaranteed to fail. And these are essential items of devotional service, pivot points upon which all other instructions, you know, circumambulate. In the Nectar Devotion, therefore, we see that Srila Rupa Goswami has described that of all the instructions, you know, five are particularly important: association with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, residing in the holy dham. And amongst those five, two are particularly important: good association with devotees and chanting Hare Krishna. So they are crucial. So therefore we see that this verse that Krishna in the 11th canto has ended his discussion on how to surrender him by always remembering him, he ends with these verses that don't ever forget that this whole process of surrender, this whole process of trying to think of me, is destroyed by this essential item to be rejected of, you know, bad association. So a very, very, you know, crucial verse. So so here again we're discussing the six principles of surrender. So we've discussed accepting everything favourable, rejecting everything unfavourable, of which accepting good association with devotees is principle, and rejecting bad association is principle. Right? So that helps us to understand, you know, the importance of where these verses fit in. And then the third principle of surrender is rakshishya titti visvaso, that one should be convinced that the Lord alone is the protector and maintainer. In other words, as Krishna has stated in this chapter, the 11th canto, that, you know, there's not much value in taking up Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Just trust, you know, my process. You know, put your trust in that. So that trust in Krishna, that okay, forget about these other paths, just take the pure devotional service. That is the third principle. And Gaptritve Varanam, the fourth principle of Saranagati, or surrender, is complete dependence on the Lord. So, that means that one understands. See, the processes of Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga are based upon the fact that by my efforts, I will attain perfection. But this fourth principle of Gaptritve Varanam, complete dependence on the Lord, means that by my efforts, you know, I am a fool. I just end up causing myself and everyone else trouble. If I completely depend upon the Lord and His process, you know, bhakti is a process of depending on the Lord's mercy. Whereas karma, yoga, and jnana, their process is predominantly depending upon one's own, you know, activities. So, giving those up means completely depending upon the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And then the fifth item, Atma Napiksha, or also known as Atma Navedana, means full surrender, that considering that I am the Lord's property. There's no, and Prabhupada often puts it, having no other desire except the desire of the Lord. So this is also mentioned in Nectar Devotion, that there's no concept of I and mine. That's Atma Navedana. That you know, we purify that concept of I by accepting that, you know, I am the property of the Lord. I am His servant. The end of story. And everything belongs to Him, and I am engaging His property in His service. I am His property, everything else is His property. There's no conception of some separate I. I don't have any other identity apart from the fact that I belong to Krishna as His servant. And I don't possess anything. Everything is His. So that is Atma Navedana, that complete full surrender. And the sixth one, of course, is Karpanye, which is humility and meekness, that, you know, one should understand that one has no other qualification. That, you know, I am so qualified that, although, you know, I will take up some other process, I will act independently of Krishna as His servant, and because I am qualified, I will be successful. Humble and meek means that, you know, I have no other qualification. My only qualification is as Krishna's servant. That is my real qualification, because that is my eternal identity. If I feel that I have some other qualification, that is, you know, above the principles of humility. Also, I have no other asset. You know, that is also this humility and meekness, that you know, if I leave Krishna's service, it's okay, because I have so many things, you know, I have so much wealth and strength and this and that and the other, which I, you know, actually we don't have nothing. If we leave Krishna's service, we leave without anything. And it's like one time I ran away from home. I said to my father, I'm running away from home because I don't want to do what you say. He says, alright, that's okay. And then I went to walk out the door. He said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going. He said, well, you better leave everything that's mine first. And I thought, oh, gee, you know, I don't really have anything. He said, your clothes as well. So I realised in order to leave home, I actually had no other asset. So anyway, you know, that's humility and meekness means that, you know, if we leave Krishna's service, do we have any qualification to do anything else? No. Do we have any other asset to support us in that independent? No. So, apart from that, if we leave the service of Krishna, it is very, you know, unchaste. The Krishna loves us so much, and we really slap him in the face. So those humility and meekness is also understanding that even to think of leaving the service of Krishna is very, very low quality. And not only, you know, do I not have the good qualification, but I'm actually full of the bad qualification. So these are the six different principles of surrender, and within those we can understand therefore where these verses fit in. So now one point I'd like to make, we've got a few moments left, is that as the verse here describes of all kinds of suffering and bondage arising from various attachment, none is greater than the suffering and bondage arising from attachment to women and intimate contact with those attached to women. So understanding the importance of this verse, where it fits into our philosophy that bad association, which primarily focuses on those who are very attached to enjoying sense gratification in the material world, is completely antagonistic to making advancement in devotional service. And that means we cannot accept Krishna's invitation in the Bhagavad Gita to go back to Godhead. So we have to be very, very careful of this principle. It is an essential item to be very, very careful about dissociation. Now, we see that those on the paths of karma, yoga and jnana, actually they're in this category. And one may think, well, you know, what about the yogis and the jnanis? They're, you know, trying to be very detached from women. Actually, they're just the other side of the penny. So those following karma, they're very attached. Yes, I will be the perfect first class enjoyer, very pious enjoyer in this material world. The jnanis and the yogis, they're saying, this, you know, sex attraction has given me so much difficulty that I'm very fearful of it. So therefore, they think, if I go back to the spiritual world and I have form and desires, and there is, I will again succumb to, similar situation which I find in the material world, which is causing me so much suffering. Therefore, out of fear, they reject, having an eternal spiritual identity and an eternal spiritual relationships in the spiritual world. Out of fear, they reject that. And some become so frustrated because of, you know, their inability to enjoy through sex desire in the material world, that they become angry and they literally want to annihilate the very existence of the soul. And therefore you have the Buddhist, the nihilistic Buddhist, like this. So really, they're just dancing around the same problem of sex life. And only the devotees, actually, are just completely indifferent to it. Neither repulsed nor attracted, as are the, you know, karmis, the yogis and the jnanis. So, now, this verse, of course, is describing that attachment to women and intimate contact with those attached to women. Now, one thing, we should be very, very careful of this, but we should also be very, very careful that the process of devotional service is different to that followed by the jnanis and the yogis. In devotional service, actually, whether one is a man or a woman, whether one is a sannyasi or a grihastha, whether one is a Brahmana or a Sudra, if they know the science of Krishna, we look at them as good association. We look at them as good. I'd like to read some nice statements here by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, in Prabhupada was talking to about his devotees who went to London and preached Krishna consciousness. He said that my Guru Maharaj created an army of sannyasis and brahmacharis, and he sent them to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, and they failed. He said, and I have created an army of grihasthas, and they are spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And all the devotees went, Jai to the Father. Now, Srila Prabhupada was extremely, he considered the male and female devotees equally beloved to him, equally dear. There was no question of any discrimination. And there's one lecture given in LA in 13th of December 1973. It was on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The Prabhupada, he gave a very short discussion about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He was going to go on, but he was describing that what he desired, what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta desired, to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, said, I am trying a little bit, but you are helping me. You know, all these boys and girls. And so he said, actually, you are all the representative of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. That's how he saw the men and the women, that they are representatives of that. He said, because you are helping me to execute his mission. So, then Srila Prabhupada, I heard this tape the other day for the first time. And there was this long pause, and although I wasn't present, I could feel the emotions just welling up in Prabhupada. You know, I could tell, you could tell, you know, as the last words come out, you know, you're all representatives of my Guru Maharaj. You could hear him struggling to contain the emotion that was just, you know, overflooding in his heart, just this appreciation and love for the men and women of Krishna consciousness. And then he tried to finish his sentence, but he was just, tears were pouring from his eyes. And he just sobbing like a little boy. He said, thank you very much, like that. And he just cried to all the men and women, just thank you very much. And he just so much loved all the men and women. And he said, this is, you know, unprecedented, in another lecture. At this stage, he just said, chant Hare Krishna, and he just stopped. He couldn't go on. Out of absolute love and appreciation for all the devotees, the men and the women. Again, there's another very nice lecture given in London in 1973. And again, he was describing that, he was saying that to advance in Krishna consciousness, you actually need the help of Krishna and Guru. And then he's saying that this is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then when he remembered about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, and you'll all be happy to know that we have now published the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And all the devotees went, Jai, Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada, like that. But then he said, but actually, it's our pundit, Prajumna, he has presented it. He says, he has worked for it. He said, although I've translated it, but, you know, by his, he said, I'm very much indebted to him that he very, very carefully edited it to make everything, you know, very nice. So he said, you know, he is my beloved disciple Prajumna, and I call him Pandit Mahasaya. And he said that he is working very hard. He said, not only him, but his wife also. You know, she's also in the same connection. She works with him. So Srila Prabhupada was just so grateful to, you know, both the husband and wife team that they have presented this Chaitanya Charitamrita like this. And he said, actually, this is wanted. And he quoted this verse, Kiva Vipra Kiva Sudra Nyasi Kena Nyaya Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Haya. But, you know, regardless of what one's position, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Sudra, man, woman, if they know the science of Krishna, you know, they're guru. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. He went on to say that sometimes I'm criticized by my godbrothers that I've become a marriage maker. Because, you know, sannyasi doesn't engage in marriage ceremonies. He said, but I get my disciples married. And he said, this is unique in the history. He said, but they don't know why I take this risk. And then he explained that although they're, you know, that the men and women in this movement working together, which is unique in history, you know, and we have to understand that, although, you know, these verses are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but you have to couple that with this unique experience which is happening within ISKCON in this Kali Yuga, that men and women work together to spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada took a lot of risk to show us how to do that, and he was criticized for it, even by his own godbrothers, what to speak of others. But you know, he you know, said, but you just see, you know, they are spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So then he described that, you know, the grihasthas, he said, actually they should be like Paramahamsa. So it's not that we just look at the sannyasi. Actually, even many sannyasis are not on the platform of Paramahamsa. And Paramahamsa is actually, there are four stages of sannyasi, and even some sannyasis may be on the first one, two or three levels of Paramahamsa. But actually grihasta can also be Paramahamsa, equal with the topmost level of sannyas. And of course he cited the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur. And of course we have many examples, Burijan Prabhu, and of course, you know, many wonderful devotees that we consider, you know, to be Paramahamsa, exalted devotees of the Lord, even though they're grihasthas. So, and he described that, you know, that our married couples should be like this, like Bhaktivinoda Kaur, that they should, you know, write books, preach Krishna consciousness, and that the, you know, working together, the couple should produce children, just like Bhaktivinoda Kaur preached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the Kaur, you know, great stalwart preacher of Krishna consciousness. So, you know, you imagine, I think it was Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur's wife, Bhagavati Devi, you know, it would be, how wrong we would be if we thought that Bhagavati Devi, the mother of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, was somehow bad association because she's a woman. You know, what a tragedy we would create in our spiritual lives if we made that mistake. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada is showing, you know, the proper application of Krishna consciousness, especially as it applies now in Kali Yuga and, you know, in this preaching movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Then Prabhupada went on to say that actually anyone who's coming to this movement, they're not ordinary living beings, actually they're liberated souls. And then he said, I am very, very much hopeful that even if I die, this movement will go on. Because, he said, because these nice boys and girls, they have so seriously taken to Krishna consciousness. So, I'm pretty much finished now because it's 8:30. But we saw,
breakfast on.
We saw previously with that 24-hour kirtan, some of the men and the girls, they were actually children of, you know, Vaishnavi mothers who produced, obviously, these wonderful children who are now travelling all over the world presenting, you know, doing this powerful kirtan. And we also saw here, I sat in the temple for about, you know, 9 hours, and most of the people who were actually leading kirtan when I was there were the women, and most of them were actually from this temple. And I was astounded, you know, how, you know, such a high caliber of kirtan. There's no question of thinking about anything in the material world. You know, when they were chanting, they just captured your attention. You just saw the Krishna's holy name. That was it. So wonderful. I was so proud, you know, the women of this temple. And, you know, so we should all be. But, you know, in many different ways, you know, we should appreciate what a devotee is doing for Krishna consciousness. You know, that is the main way we look at a devotee, not you're a man, you're a woman. And at the very same time, we should be very, very careful of this principle of associating with women. Both should be there at the same time. We should not, in the name of, you know, appreciating the service of the opposite sex, in any way neglect this principle of being very careful in the association with the opposite sex. But at the same time, we should not take it the wrong way, that just because someone is a woman, that they're bad association, and just because someone is a man, that they're good association. How wrong that would be. Because, you know, there are so many very, very elevated women Vaishnavis in this movement that put so many men to shame in their devotional service. So that principle should be understood, and at the same time be very, very careful, especially brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasi, practically, you know, association with women is restricted to almost nil. In grihasthas, there is more, you know, opportunity for association in preaching Krishna consciousness, but still in all respects one should be very careful and very respectful. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any... If anyone has any no questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.